Hola, welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a bilingual podcast that shares interviews with self-made millionaires, financially savvy investors, and all things financial literacy and dinero. Your host, Natalie Torres, is a two-time TEDx speaker, an award-winning author, investor, and financially savvy Latina that has been featured on NBC, Telemundo, and Forbes as a financial literacy and mental health advocate. She is joined by her co-host, Vera Eagley, an author, investor, and seasoned insurance professional. Hello, hello. Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. I'm Natalie Torres-Haddad, and I'm here with the lovely
Vera. Hi.
Hi, everyone. Vera Iggy. She's so cute.
It's good to be back. Video.
Absolutely. And I'm excited because this is the time where we celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month or Latinx Month or whatever you call it. For us, it's really a celebration that we hopefully do all year, but it runs from September 15th to October 15th. And you and I just did something pretty cool. Obviously, we took the break off the summer like we do every season, but we were just on TV recently at Rompiendo Silencio. And tell us a little bit about what the theme was. You and I were on panelists on it, so it's kind of a cool experience being inside a studio again.
That was really cool. I have to say that the topic really surprised me because it's not something that was ever top of mind for me, but it's called financial infidelity. And it's funny because I realized that in some way, shape, or form, we've all done it at some point in our lives. It could have been just like, you know, when you were little and your parents asked you, did you spend all your money in your piggy bank? And you're like, no, but you actually bought all those paletas and then you did. So like you lied, right? You betrayed a trust. And so that's really what the theme of the show was. We were each talking about financial infidelity and how it impacts couples, but it can also impact, you know, families, business partners. It kind of creeps into different areas of your life.
Oh, absolutely. It really shined a light on our own stories, our traumas with those stories as well. And they had a part where they asked people on the streets, right, asking them, have they ever committed infidelity or financial infidelity? Majority of the women that were on it said yes, whether it was shopping for stuff on the side and then hiding it. And I was like, oh my gosh, I know I've totally done that. And, you know, you start to think about, it's sad too, because you hear oftentimes divorces happen because of that. You know, oftentimes some people get married without knowing someone had debt. And these are all conversations you wish you would have early on before doing that. But sometimes it's pretty rough. And you hear people say that financial infidelity can be just as bad, if not worse, than infidelity. And there was a movie that we talked about. It was called, I think, Jumping in the Broom, where Angela Bassett tells her husband she thought he was having an affair with somebody. And turns out he pretty much wiped out their savings. And she was like, oh my God, I wish you would have just had a mistress instead of literally wiping out everything. Not only she had, but she came from wealth, like her third generation wealthy. And he wiped it out in that year or something. So it's kind of insane. But I loved it. You got to be virtual technically, but it was obviously a cool experience seeing how a TV show runs a full hour of just having that panel, right? One-on-one.
Yeah.
So tell us what you've been up to. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I will, but really quick on that show. It's like, it was my first time doing like a correspondence, you know, like satellite correspondent. I felt like I was like those, like I met the crazy international event that happened in the satellite video. Is like, it was really nice because from when you're not in the studio and you have to do those, you see all the behind the scenes that goes on technically. So it's one thing to be in the studio and seeing all the behind the scenes, but then it's another to actually see how they set it up for a virtual correspondent. And that was really cool because that's something I had never experienced personally. So that was really neat. It's a lot of work.
It's a good point. And if you guys haven't seen our Instagram, it's FinSavvy in 20 Minutes. We have a lot of the behind the scene video footage of it because it's true. It's kind of that overwhelming feeling. But it was a good way to kick off or the end of summer and kick off how we're starting off this eighth season, which is so hard. It's so crazy to say eighth season. but lucky eight. What can we say? Right. And I'm happy to have us back because you and I just happen to have fun when we talk about all these things. And I feel like there's a lot we want to cover since it's been a whole summer. That might be really 2 months of us not recording. But what have you been up to this summer? Last time we had our last episode was on goals and things that we wanted to accomplish, whether it was next year or this year. But you had some big progress along the way in the last couple months.
Yeah. It's funny. A friend asked me this morning, what's new in your life? And I realized like, I'm selling my house. That's so new. I mean, it's a big thing in a person's life. It's a big, when it's, you know, it's a, you put in on an investment and you realize that you're getting a great return. And then it proves once again, at least for me, that property is always the way to go. You know, Natalie and I, we love property, you guys. We just, this is where we thrive. We know that
more than doubled, right?
Yeah.
Profit wise.
Totally. So it was really, it was the right, it's the right time for us to do it. What's funny is that the last time we did talk in the goals episode, I said, I don't know, my goal is really to like either look for another place or maybe sell my place, move somewhere else, to start a new adventure, go into a new venture and adventure and a new venture. And sure enough, here we go. I think within 2 months from that episode, I think that it's when everything kicked off. And by the way, I will say thank you everyone for listening, because we got a lot, that episode got a lot of downloads, and I think all of us really, we want to understand how to set goals. We want to hear people achieving goals, and sometimes you don't. Sometimes it takes a little longer, but it doesn't matter. It just so happened that mine happened fast. I thought it was going to happen in December. You know, it's just, who knows? It's actually, you know, really unexpected. It's so fast.
It really is. But I knew it was going to happen fast for you. I didn't know how that fast. So I think it's, one, it's inspiring when you hear, you know, yourself and hearing people that I know that are accomplishing their goals. But you just said it. It's kind of like you put it out in existence and it happens. And, you know, being able to hear from other people, our listeners, saying like, what's your goal? You never know, because someone can help you make it happen or just motivate you to do it, or just on the same wavelength. I, on the other hand, am not selling our house. But, you know, I talked about last episode, I'm like, I want to create more affordable housing. And I, you know, just there's things that I want to invest more in. And lo and behold, I am obsessed right now. I know some people, if you're listening from California specifically, but really all over the country, there are ADUs, which stand for accessory dwelling unit. It sounds more like additional dwelling unit, right? And you're on your property. And in most states, most cities, and specifically California, there was a lot of restrictions with that, you know, having to build more on property. In LA particular, land is so scarce and it is extremely expensive as well. Like an empty lot anywhere like in LA where we live, you're lucky maybe at least $500,000. We're talking about an empty land. Nothing's tucked up. And, you know, that's a whole nother ball game. It's like you can't find anything over $1 million. But some laws passed a couple years, more than a couple years ago, 2019, and then during the pandemic, and then the last year alone, there has been some major changes as far as zoning goes, as far as what you can and cannot build. And for us, it worked in our favor. And so you and I are big real estate people. Woohoo. Okay. And for us, it was basically, it switched that we, before when we bought this place, I always had the end. It's always big tip here, guys, listen up if you're thinking about investing in real estate. Always buy a property knowing what your exit strategy is first, whether you're going to live in it 20 years or sell it or rent it, whatever. But for us, I always knew that when it was like, oh my God, I love this home, but I wanted to build something in the back because we have a huge backyard. And I thought, well, the city only allowed us at the time one unit and possibly partial garage. And so with these change laws, we now have the ability to build two units, making our property a triplex. Or something like a triplex, right? There's a little zoning when it comes to called ADUs, but that's two additional buildings, two additional incomes, which is really awesome. And also creating affordable housing where I live, because we're like close to USC and all these other colleges, you know, ELAC, and we want to make sure that, you know, we're providing that. So it's kind of cool to see how things play out. I'm obsessed.
And big industry too. You have a lot of big industry moving in.
Huge, so. Huge. And rent around here is ridiculous. I mean, if you're listening from New York, you understand our struggles. And even Chicago and like those big cities, you know, $3,000 for, you know, for one bedroom, you know, one bath, maybe a garage space. And that's the cheap side. Yeah. Depending where in the city is the norm. And so for me, I'm like, I don't want to move out of LA, especially where we live. I love LA. We complain about the weather. I get it. Right now the weather's hot, but it's like 1 or 2 months out of the year.
Yeah, you're in a good spot though. You're like right in the middle of everything. Like from your place, you can get everywhere, and you have access to
the beach. Is like 25 minute drive at the most with traffic, and then you know the mountains. The closest mountain for us, like Mount Baldy, is like an hour. So you're right. It's kind of knowing where you buy is good. But I'm so happy to hear that you're officially moving on and on to better things. And any city that you land in or state is lucky to have you. So
thank you.
Woohoo. We can't wait to keep updating. Please tell us because, yeah. you know, this is the end of the year, guys. We're, oh my gosh, y'all, like less than 4 months.
What happened?
Before the year's over, 2023.
It went so fast. Yeah.
Yeah. Really so, you know, this is a time to reflect on what you have done, what you have accomplished. Hopefully not to put too much, just like, oh my God, I have to do this before the end of the year. I'm kind of over that, but it's more like, okay, I'm happy where we are and what we can do. But let's talk a little bit more on the maybe not as exciting and, you know, positive aspect, but it's the reality. You and I are a huge optimistic realist. Mm-hmm. But there's been a lot talk about the recession and a lot of possible crashes and whether it's in real estate or in stock. And the biggest one that I saw was at least announcement that Michael Burry, for those who have seen the movie Big Short, he's a real guy in real life. He's the guy that predicted the last dot-com crash in 2001, as well as the market real estate crash in 2008. So he kind of pretty much scared everyone saying, you know, this is what he's been investing in. He invested over $1.6 billion doing a short against the stock market, and he's saying it's going to happen soon. So when someone like that speaks up, most people like myself listen. So kind of what are your thoughts on it? Because I know I can go in a rabbit hole on like, oh my God, these are the signs that recession is full swing.
Well, you and I have that, that term that we use. That it's just, I know it sounds harsh, but it, you remember that like if there's blood on the streets, buy property. And it sounds really like bad, but let's modernize it a little bit. There will be situations where if you happen to have cash or at least you can have access to some liquidity, and there are going to be potentially some homes that are going to be much more affordable than they were. And, you know, although there are a lot of people that say like they also think that that's not going to happen. So you get both sides. But typically we think that we've already gone very past what happened with the shutdowns, pandemic, COVID. We're still recovering. You go to the stores and you still see some shelves that are not stocked. I'm in insurance, so I see what happens with claims. It takes a long time to fix cars now, or it's super expensive because of the parts. So logistically, there are still a lot of issues in the market. That takes a toll. In case you don't know, there's tons of insurance companies that have left California because they don't want to touch it. It's not profitable for them. That takes a toll, and it's starting to show in other states. So you have to really kind of like make the connections and then say, where am I right now? You might not have a lot of money saved up right now, and that's okay. Don't be scared or ashamed, but start putting a little bit, even if it's $5 a week. You know, you can find $20 a week. You can do it if you can. I think our listeners, you, Natalie, we're in a privileged position where we can say, I'm going to start putting some stuff away for a rainy day. And I think most of the people listening to us, you might not think that you're in a position, but you are. If you're not out on the streets, living off the streets, hungry, you're in a very good position. Think about that. So it's not about comparison. It's just about like, you are. You're in an abundant position to be able to put some money away for a rainy day.
I like that. It's the what we're trying to say, and we don't want to scare people listening to something like, oh my God, it's the end of times. But you're right. You know, going to the grocery store, there's so many different supplies. There's so many world happening climates with hurricanes and cyclones. And I mean, we can go, the list is on forever. You know, the bans that are happening on, you know, export on rice from India, all these things that we see as a necessity and something that we live off of are changing and becoming scarce. But I think the reality is that we can look at some of these, you know, we're saying these warning signs and what, like Vera just said, what we can do to help us feel a little sane and help us feel a little safe and help us have a plan for the next, you know, the next end of the year, the next 5 years or so forth. For me, it's, you know, I've been talking about this pre-pandemic, but definitely the last 2 years about, you know, this recession, and a lot of people are in denial, didn't want to talk about it. You know, we're called Chicken Little for that reason, but it's because we look at what's going on in the market, what's happened in the past, what tends to repeat itself. And then also just, there's so many new factors with a pandemic, post-pandemic, with, you know, new strains of COVID, with people getting laid off right now. How many layoffs are we seeing in so many different industries? An election, the tech industry, how much has changed? A lot of AI jobs that have taken over, right? As opposed to someone else doing it. So, you know, kind of figuring out what do you have? What eggs do you have in your basket? And, you know, try to really hone in on what works for you and makes you feel better. Mm-hmm. And I think about it sometimes, it sounds a lot more like sacrifice mode, but it's not really, it's just planning ahead. And last year, I remember my husband, I really wanted to travel or just, you know, things that we normally will, you know, enjoy doing. And we didn't. And I would see, you know, social media is a culprit of like, oh, they're having so much fun. They're living their best life, blah, 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 blah. And for me, it was also kind of like, nope, there's things that are going to happen before the end of, actually before 2022 that will dictate 2023, so forth and so forth. And I wanted to be prepared for that. And now I'm like, okay, we did the right thing. Cause now I see people saying, oh my gosh, I should have, even a year ago, if I would have saved or done something different.
And yeah. So, now you get to put two ADUs in your backyard because
I was like, oh, an extra property. And you know, there's so many different, every city has different zonings, but you know, prime location, our property value has more than doubled in the last 8 years that we bought this place. And you know, I think about when someone talks about not buying property, I get there's so many certain cities I wouldn't recommend either. And even right now, it's really hard to get a good loan, all that fun stuff that comes with it. But there's that saying, it's like you buy property now, you're going to be rich now and you're going to be much richer later. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, you know, you can rent in some places and you can always rent where you want to live and then buy property somewhere else where it's affordable for you. And that's what I usually recommend too for most people, especially if you're from LA. But for us, it's always panned out well for that reason. So I think it's kind of like, what's your end game? Especially if you're young, dude, young, save that money, use that money towards the down payment, towards the fix-ups, whatever it might be, because your older self will thank you.
Yeah. And even speaking about young and old, I mean, we're in our 40s and still that's like young in terms of, you know, the potential for investment right now. So many of you, you're like at your prime, your career is set. Maybe you have a kid, maybe you don't, doesn't matter. Like you have, if you've been working, you've been saving enough where now it's the time. Maybe you feel ready. And like I said, I think there's going to be really good opportunities that pop up and don't just keep looking in your backyard. You have to envision like, can I live somewhere else? Because there's just so much movement now with remote working and, I don't know, job. You can take your job almost anywhere nowadays. So consider that.
I agree. And I know you and I will be talking more about this along this season, but you know, it's kind of what smart money moves are we making? And for us, it's getting geared up to do our fourth annual money moves for millionaires. And just because there's so many things, if Vera was part of the first one, right? So if we can look back at the last 3 years and see what we've learned, what we've applied and seen what other people learned and applied themselves to, it's just been wonderful. And I think, and you said it, you know, when there's a recession, these are the times where most millionaires, most billionaires are made. The recession is a time where you could find opportunity. If you see something going out of sale, like it's funny, I was at Costco the other day and, you know, a lot of the stuff that's normally there was missing. And once again, it's certain supplies and shortage, even the toilet paper. I was kind of like, ooh, people around me were freaking out because they're like, oh my gosh, is this happening again? You know? Luckily for us, I go every quarter. I don't go often, but I go every quarter and get our stuff. And I had plenty of stuff, but it made me think back of what can we do now to make sure that we are okay. And we were lucky, like, I think a week before the pandemic, I had just gone to Costco and I had enough stuff at least for 6 months. And we weren't those people stressing about like, oh, there's no toilet paper, right?
I know where she keeps it, guys. If you want the me know.
I didn't hoard it, but I definitely had my two-pack, you know. And I think they limited to one for many, many months.
They did for a while.
And we had a bidet, too, so a little TMI there. Save
but
some
no,
money.
That's like, no, full on. Like, I love me a bidet. Let me just tell you. You save money. Also, you're all fresh, walking around all fresh.
Oh my gosh. Yes. There's an awesome show called Mo on Netflix. It's hilarious. It's like the story of basically how an Arab American lives in Houston. I'm sure he's in Texas. And he talks about that kind of like, how do you not have a bidet? Like, Americans are the only ones that don't have really bidets in their bathroom compared to all of Europe, all of like, there's just so many places that bidets are a norm. And I'm like, you're right. It's kind of like having a showering for your booty area. But
yeah, my dad, any house my dad has ever lived in has always had, but he has the hose one where it's like,
yeah, oh, the hose too. There's a hose.
It's a little too intense.
We have the one that just spurs from the toilet, but yeah. I mean, it's life changing, y'all. And when I had a fractured wrist, a full on cast, it worked wonder because I couldn't wipe myself. So, you know, if somebody wants to sponsor us for bidets,
We're going to go talk to Tush, Hello Tushy, or whatever they're called.
Right. Toilets.
Yeah. Because the Tushy providers, she's an awesome female entrepreneur. So maybe we need to have a chat with her and have her on the show.
Ooh, I like to talk about that. Brainstorming as we talk.
Yeah.
And this month, because it happens to be, you know, Hispanic Heritage Month or Latinx Month, you know, there is a lot of events going on and, you know, it's a great time to celebrate. But I guess the question I want to ask you is, you know, is there someone that you look up to during this time that it's like these are the people, the trailblazers that set it up for us, you know, and if it wasn't for them, maybe we wouldn't be where we are today.
That's really a good question. And maybe it sounds a little bit cheesy, but for me, it's always my aunt Mona. I mean, I choose a family member, but it's because she decided when she was in her early teens, she and my uncle decided to move to the United States. And she's Mexican, he's Chinese. They came here and they worked really hard. The first couple of years were tough. And they opened up a restaurant, and then they opened up a driving school, and then an insurance agency. And then, you know, they taught my mom how to do her business, and she's been thriving for 50 years. So, like, that's, you know, that's the type of Latina that I like to celebrate, because I can really look at my own family for the inspiration. And we have so many female entrepreneurs in my family, and I was born and raised in LA. So, we went through all of it. We've seen a lot in Chinatown, downtown LA, Elysian Park, way before it was all cool. So, you know, that's also really motivating.
It was always cool for us, but yes.
It was always cool for us, but for everyone else, it was not cool. Yep. So I feel like I really want to give her props for making the decision, A, to marry a Chinese guy, because that just didn't happen in Mexico. And then coming here and being able to pave the way for the entire family. So, yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Keep it in the fam. Keep it in the fam. And I'm going to say the same. I'm going to give a shout out to my mom and my aunt. So my aunt Sonia, I need to have her on this pod. I don't know why I have her or my uncle. Both of them are amazing entrepreneurs and just amazing what they've done for our family. But and my uncle, who's my mom's brother, both and them have really, because of them, they've said, well, we talk about generational wealth on this podcast. It's like, your parents hopefully set something up that they leave for you, and vice versa. You know, it keeps continuing. And my mom, when she was a junior in high school in El Salvador, had the opportunity to study abroad because her older brother had just gone, which was my Uncle Richard. And when she was, I think, 12 or 13, you know, you get a chance to choose another language. She wanted to learn French, but my grandma was like, maybe you should learn English, because maybe the chances of you going to the States to study is more, you know, believable. Anyhow, she got a scholarship, ended up living in Illinois for about a year as a foreign exchange student. It was valedictorian, like smart girl, obviously. But her English is pretty much way better than mine. And even though I'm like pretty much raised here and born here, her English allowed her to have all these different opportunities financially and career wise as well. But, you know, she became this executive, you know, for many years. She's been an executive for now 20 something years. And having that representation for me, like you just said, your mom, I know your mom too. It's like, wow, mm-hmm. We're surrounded by women that had a lot more struggles, had a lot more challenges and barriers, but somehow they did it with grace, and they still instilled it in us that we should keep
and raised us.
Oh my God. Even that, I'm like, how did they do that? Yeah.
We have to do a whole episode on how, like, our moms never had time for a nervous breakdown. I feel like now you can just have a full on nervous breakdown and nobody's going to judge you because you're like, it's okay. And our parents just never had time to just be like, I can't do this. You know, they didn't. Yeah.
And you know, I just realized we have never had my mom on the podcast, and she's super shy in that sense, but we need to have it. Her birthday's coming up next month. So I think it'll be good to hear her side of the story, because it's funny when people are like, oh, is your mom impressed with what you do? I'm like, yeah, she says she's proud of me, but
I don't think my mom knows what I do.
She always kind of like, keeps me grounded. My dad is very, not necessarily clueless, but he's kind of like, you know, I told him I was doing a TEDx talk, and he's like, oh, that sounds great. And I'm like, he has no idea what that is. So it's kind of funny that they keep you grounded. Yeah. They're like, oh, that sounds great. You know, not really knowing, but shout out to those
Ted?
People.
I thought it was, she's married. Why is she talking to Ted? Why is she doing a TEDx talk?
Well, I think it's only appropriate that we kicked off this season just one, thanking everybody too. Thank you for just being there. She said we had tons of downloads, and the fact that we see it grow, and there's days where I'm like, wow, thousands of people are actually listening to what we're saying is kind of crazy. But we thank you for
thank you for listening.
I always learn something new from Vera, like all the time. And it's kind of same. Who you surround yourself with, right? Makes you not only hopefully a better person, but, this month elevates also happens game. To be what month? The for September is
Life Insurance Awareness Month. Yeah.
There you go.
We're gonna have a special guest, telling us, the do's, the don'ts, and what to look out for as well.
Yeah. So there's definitely a lot of goodies, and we have a few Latinas. Jen Hemphill, shout out to her. We're going to have her on as well. And she is having her third annual Financially Strong Latina conference. And I'm lucky to be one of the speakers again, and just kind of being able to highlight other women in this space. And oh my gosh, she's been killing it. She's been my podcast guru. I want to say she's been podcasting for 9 years. Wow. She's the one that has those million downloads, per episode. So, another pioneer. So, thank you. And I want to say you're one of mine that I love to celebrate, because I think if it wasn't for you, I don't think I would keep doing this sometimes, because it's a lot of work, y'all, doing a podcast.
It's a lot of work.
When we have a team, we're still kind of like, oh God, there's a lot of work. So thank you.
I feel the same. I'm very happy we get to celebrate us in Hispanic Heritage Month and every day, because we happen to be Hispanic. So that's cool.
Yeah. So if your goal is to learn Spanish, stay tuned for the next episode.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
To learn more about the podcast, follow us on Instagram at FinSavvy in 20 minutes and catch our interviews on YouTube. If you want to become a sponsor, hire us for your next workshop or speaking engagement, reach out to us at financiallysavvyin20minutes.com or send us a DM. All it takes is 20 minutes out of your day to become financially savvy.